Here we go.
This episode of Living in Las Vegas is brought to you by The Capital Grill.
Yummy.
Living in Las Vegas starts now.
Yes, it does.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome from Las Vegas, Nevada, that groovy little podcast that gives you a true first-person look into what it's like to call Sin City your home, the Living in Las Vegas podcast.
Oh, let's go!
Out! Please sit down, everyone. Please.
And now your host.
Yes?
A man who clearly needs some kind of introduction, otherwise you wouldn't know who he was.
Singer, Brother Scudder.
Mr. Scott Whitney. Look at me, I can fly. Welcome, everybody. See, I get to do this for a living.
Wow. What have I gotten myself into?
Right? Now you're in my voice. Welcome, everybody, to the Living in Las Vegas podcast here on the Vegas Video Network. Oh, another fantastic
guy. Yes.
By the way, I'm here with my good friend, Travis Clower.
Hey, everybody.
And we'll be talking to Travis here in a few seconds. But first, congratulations, because you're listening to or watching the longest running podcast about Las Vegas that actually originates from Vegas, which means we're not only going to cover what it's like to live here, which we'll talk about in a second, we're going to be talking about adventures on the Strip, downtown, Fremont Street, other places here in the Valley. And by the way, if you're a tourist, you're a fan, you're a visitor, maybe you're just thinking about moving here to Las Vegas, we'll get...
Do it.
Especially if you're an entertainer. Well, this show is like your own secret handshake to all things cool and grooving. Hey, we're live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Pacific time at VegasVideoNetwork.com/live. Again, VegasVideoNetwork.com/live. We're also right now streaming to Facebook and the YouTube because we are everywhere. And just like my good friend Christina Aguilera says, come on over. Come on over, baby. Get yourself in the live chat. Be a part of the fun. Be a part of the show. These people are the nicest people you'll ever want to meet.
And that's right.
By the way, they're gorgeous naked. Let me tell you a little bit about these guys. These people show up sometimes an hour before the show just to hang out, to say hi, to basically do a digital kumbaya. That's the people we are working with right now. They're fantastic. But wait, there's more. They're all over the place. They're in Las Vegas. They're in Henderson, Arizona, California, Minnesota, Oregon, Florida, Illinois, Georgia, Colorado, Wisconsin, Iowa, international. I've got some folks in Canada and even Germany watching us right now.
Yeah.
Live at VegasVideoNetwork.com. By the way, these people got together last week. I didn't do a show last week. I went to Effingham, Illinois. Well, here's the sound of Effingham. That's right.
That sounds like Effingham.
Want to go to hunting? Not really. I don't want to go hunting, but I would like for you to go hunting. Anyways, they showed up last week. No show. I popped in for a second, and they hung out for an hour just chatting among themselves.
Oh, that's cool.
Isn't that cool?
That's very cool.
These are the coolest people in the world. And by the way, here's the other cool part. We do a little pre-show before we actually start broadcasting officially. You know, a little bit of behind the scenes as we do show prep. And then we do Living in Las Vegas After Dark. Once the show is done and recorded, Ooh. Oh, we're probably on for another half hour. Wow. That's when the real stories come out. That's when we become possible arrest subjects.
You didn't tell me about that part.
Yeah, I didn't want to come over. I just wanted you to come by. A lot of times when you say people, you might get arrested, they're like, maybe Scott, I don't want to come by, you know, which is a fair comment. Hey, by the way, I'm your host, Scott Whitney. Konnichiwa, buenas noches, how you doing, hot stuff. Great to see you. Online broadcaster for professionally 10 years. And by the way, I run this whole Vegas Video Network. So on behalf of this show, thanks for watching. On behalf of all of the shows on the Vegas Video Network, I want to thank you as well. Over and under.
I'm going to go a hard 68 minutes.
Look at that. Now, did you see how he handled that? Like a freaking boss.
68.
The last time we had somebody there like, I don't know what you mean for the whole show. You mean like over in years? Oh, my God. No, over and under for the show. See, it's hard to get people to get it, but Travis...
68. Boom,
right on it. Okay. All right. Let's get this whole party.
Put some money on it.
68. Okay. That would be a short show, but let's do it.
Hey,
right. So here's a question that we have to answer today. And that is being a Vegas entertainer risky? And here's why I asked that question. And here's why I have Travis here. So over the course of the last year, 2016, 20 plus shows have shut down or are changing in a radical way. Mm-hmm. So what do you mean? So for example, Le Rev going to be completely redone, whole new cast. Jubilee, gone. Raiding of the Rock Vault, gone. Showstopper, Million Dollar Quartet, Rock of Ages, Gordy Brown, and the Jersey Boys. All gone. Of these folks. And the Jersey Boys directly affects my friend here. This is Travis Clower, everybody. Travis.
Hey, gang.
Super talented guy. Also a nice guy. Let me just say this about that. He is arguably one of my favorite people in the entertainment business.
Wow.
And it's a short list, folks. There's a lot of talented people here.
That's a big statement.
Well, I think it feels like it is. There are a number of talented people here in Vegas, reasonably thing to say. But like, and occasionally I'll bump into these guys. I've had a lot of them in my studio, and they're all very, very nice when they're in my studio. But when they're not in my studio, they can be kind of dicks. And you know what?
People just want to use you, Scott.
I feel like that way, and I'm not having it anymore. My therapist says,
"No more.
Stand up for
no
yourself."
More.
And but like, there's a handful of people, a small number of people. Travis is one of them. Where I see the guy at a gathering, I'm like, "Oh, there's Travis. I like Travis." I will go talk to him.
Cheers to that.
You know what Travis does? Yeah, he talks to me back.
Hello.
It's pretty cool. Cheers, brother. Now, who is Travis? Well, Travis played Frankie Valli for, now it was 7 years?
Eight and a half years in town.
Wow. Okay, don't go ahead of me. So 8.5 years in town, he played Frankie Valli, the lead of the show you're looking at. That's him. That's Frankie right there. The best falsetto voice you're ever going to hear in this town. Now, he's got a big Christmas show coming up, Christmas at My Place. We're going to talk about that in a second. But first, welcome, my brother.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to be here, man.
Here we go. Let's get a little applause. Yeah.
Again, sit down, everyone, please. Please.
They
please.
Are very enthusiastic
they
in the back
it
corner.
Here.
It's the C seats that really like you. Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about your background. Then we're going to talk a little bit about your take on the business of entertainment here. Since you're right in the middle of it and you were affected by, you know, one of these shows closing, then we'll talk about your Christmas show. So first of all, I want to know, when was it that you woke up one day and said, "Holy shit, I sing like an angel?" Because
that is probably the best question I've ever been asked. Yeah. So I'm gonna write that one down. I don't know. I mean, I've always been interested in music. I come from a musical family. My father was a music minister, and so we always had music growing up.
Hold
you know,
on.
So.
Your dad, who's watching right now,
yeah.
Oh, music minister.
Yeah,
fantastic.
He's cool though.
Okay.
So you be you.
Okay. Good night, everybody. What's your
good
dad?
Night? Mic drop.
Right. Gotta
no,
go.
Dad's good. Dad's
okay,
good.
So anyways.
Dad's
so,
good.
So at what age did you go, you know what? This cat can sing.
I think it was probably somewhere in junior high is when I really first started noticing that I, you know, just basically singing to the radio and singing in church and things that I realized that I enjoyed doing it.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoyed the act of making music.
Right. Now, a lot of people enjoy making music. A lot of people enjoy singing with the radio.
Yeah.
A lot of people are shit. How did you know you were good?
Well, you know, I think it all starts, you know, going back to church and seeing the reaction of people when I would sing with my dad in church. And then also when I got into high school, I had a great music teacher that kind of took me under his wing.
Right.
And just really molded this raw clay because he saw some great potential there. And it was then that I started, you know, getting into the musical theater side of things in high school.
Right.
And I started getting cast as leads in the shows. And I started getting solos in choir pieces. And I thought, oh, well,
so you maybe I
do have something that I could actually, you know,
now,
pursue
were you,
here.
Were you encouraged to pursue that? I mean, for most parents are like, you know, sing all you want, Johnny. But that's
yeah,
how you,
you
make
know,
a living.
I've always been encouraged to be myself and to do what I want to do, you know, and it's especially to pursue something that makes me happy. And music does that. Music has always made me happy. It's something that it's just been part of me for so long. So
now, at what point did you decide, okay, I think I'm going to try this as a profession?
I started working professionally right out of high school.
Really?
I auditioned for some shows out of a theme park in Kansas City.
Where did you live? I should have asked.
Kansas
that.
City.
Okay.
And I got cast in that right out of high school, the summer that I graduated high school. And I worked there all the way through college for every summer.
So you went to college?
Yeah, I'd go to college and I majored in musical theater there. And then
which college did you go to?
Kansas State University.
Okay.
Go Cats.
Okay.
And then every summer I would go work and do shows in Kansas City.
They have a fantastic football team.
Yes, they do.
Do they?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, they're all right.
I was trying to teach
No, they're good.
A little bit.
No? They're good. So yeah, you know, it's something that that I've been fortunate enough to do for a while.
And so when you went into college, did you say, this is it? This is, I'm going to be a professional entertainer, singer, actor,
I think I did because I didn't really focus on anything else to fall back on.
What was your GPA
so,
in math?
Five. You know.
Five. Like, oh, we'll keep the kid in. The kid can sing. He can't act, but God damn it.
I was actually better in like math and stuff. I actually started out as, I can't remember what my degree was. It was an art, bachelor's of arts or science or whatever. And I had to take a foreign language, and I was so horrible at Spanish. I took it the spring semester, and then I had all summer to forget everything that I learned, and I did. So I went back in the fall.
Muy bueno.
Yeah. But what's that mean?
Very good.
Oh, there you go. And so I ended up having to change my degree to the other one where I didn't have to take any language, but I had to do more math. So I
saw a Facebook post from a gal, I forget her name, in Baz. You don't have to bring her name up. But she talked about having paid $200,000 for her education in musical theater and whatnot. I think she went to Berkeley or something like that, which is, you know, pretty neat. $40,000 a year when I looked at it. Did you do any other kind of formal training outside of the college?
No, I didn't.
And did they prepare you for the business of entertainment?
They did. I don't know if looking back, I would tell my younger self to major in musical theater, you know, because I think that knowing the skills that I had, and not that I didn't learn valuable things there, and not that I didn't make enormous, you know, friendships and contacts and had a wonderful time there. I don't know if what I'm doing is a direct effect of everything that I did there. You know what I mean? I think I could have figured out some of the things that that I learned along the way. I could have probably done that by maybe jumping into the business a little sooner.
So let's say that
saved a lot of money.
You get a tap on the shoulder tomorrow and they said, oh, hey, we want you to be professor of entertainment stuff at Kansas State stuff. Mm-hmm. What would you do differently from a curriculum standpoint to
That's
teach people
question.
to be more educated and prepared to go out in the real world and actually?
I would teach more about the business of show business.
Right. That's what. They didn't really speak to that.
No, we studied a lot more of the craft side of the business.
Meaning,
acting
how to
classes
be a tree.
And how to be a tree and how to stand still like a rock. Right. No, voice lessons and acting methods and directorial methods, all that kind of stuff. But there really wasn't a lot of how do you pursue getting an agent?
Yeah.
How do you, you know, take care of your taxes if you're, you know, incorporate yourself as a business owner?
Right.
That kind of stuff. Yeah. I think that would be very, very useful.
And those examples, the how to get an agent, I mean, those are the things that come top of mind when you think that's the stuff that you struggled with when you got out of college?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Now, after you got out of college, you're still in Kansas. I know that you ended up in New York.
Mm-hmm.
What was the path there?
From college, I went to, I got a job working at another theme park in Nashville, Tennessee called Opryland. And Opryland, USA, baby.
With Opryland?
That's the one.
Oh, hey.
And phenomenal.
I didn't know it was a theme park.
Yeah. Well, it's not anymore. Now it's a mall.
Oh.
They tore it down and built a mall.
That's horrible.
It is horrible.
Tomahawk said no.
That's not good. Right? There you go. Welcome to my world.
No, because it's very horrible because this place was like, it was such a mecca of live entertainment shows for the theme park world. There were so many live shows there.
Right.
A lot of country acts got their starts there. A lot of people on Broadway went through Opryland. I had a great time at Opryland, loved it, and loved everything that I learned there. I might have some more wine.
So what did you do there at Opryland?
I was in the shows. I was in the production shows.
So they had multiple production shows they in have the
multiple,
theme park.
They have
so
multiple
it's like a
production.
Theme park, yeah. Like they do
yeah,
at Disney.
Yeah, they had rides, they had attractions, and then they had live shows.
Okay.
But a lot of live shows,
yeah.
A ton of live shows. Big ones, small ones, small solo acts.
What do you learn? Or did you take anything away? So now you're in the real world. You're out of school. You're at Opryland, which is kind of cool. And you're working for a living. That's your sole income?
Yeah, that's it.
Nothing else. And when you walked in there, did you go, wow, shit, I didn't expect that. This could have gone better. I wish I'd have known that. What was the part where you were like, ah, damn, this would have been better?
I don't know. You always think that things could be better, you know, especially as an actor.
Let me ask you, are you one of those guys that you're so fucking good that you don't have any of those issues? Because if not...
No, I have those issues every day.
Good.
Ask my wife. I think she's watching right now. I hope she's watching right now, but ask my wife. So, yeah, of course, you, there, man. There's.
So you're a great singer. I'm going to assume that you weren't as good a singer then as you are now. I'm going to assume that.
No, of course not. You always grow.
You must have come up against other people and went, holy shit, that dude can sing.
Absolutely.
That chick's got pipes.
Absolutely.
What the hell? I mean, do you ever get self-doubt during that time?
Oh, yeah, man. All the time.
Right?
All the time. But, you know, it's those times when you see other people that you admire and that you look up to and that you think are better than you.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, what do I have to do to get to that level?
Right. So how long were you at Opryland?
I was there for, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 seasons.
How long after you left did they close down the theme park?
I don't even remember.
Was it because of your leaving?
It was because I left Opryland.
Fantastic.
That they tore the entire place down.
Is that on your resume?
And built a mall.
Can I suggest you put that on your resume?
Destroyer of Opryland.
The demise of Opryland. Hello. I left. They had to go. So you're 2 or 3 seasons, and then what do you do?
And then I went to, I started doing production shows on cruise ships.
That's a big deal here.
It was a big deal. I had a great time doing it. That's where I met my wife, and... Paid off my student loans.
That's a huge play for a lot of entertainers.
It is.
And, you know, let me just ask you this. So a lot of people who have said this, we've interviewed on the network a number of people who've done cruise ships.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that when they introduce the subject of playing on a cruise ship, they tend to, if their sentence is moving at this fast, right before they get to the cruise ship, they slow down and get a little quiet before they say it. Do you know what I mean by that?
I totally do.
They're like... Ugh.
I totally do. But, no, I'm very proud of the work that I did on the ships. I worked with... I started with Norwegian Cruise Lines and then moved over to Celebrity Cruise Lines, which is where I met Jennifer, my wife.
Right.
And I did some great shows out there, man. I also did some crappy ones, but I mean, that's the nature of the business.
So when you do
bad things.
So you go to Opryland or to cruise ships. Was there a big difference in the professionalism of the people who you work with? I mean, when you come away from that, I mean, I realize you're proud of what you did, but did you go, oh, that could have been better, or that was fantastic, or, hey, I got a porthole.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. There were times when I didn't have a porthole. Yeah. Those were the bad days,
yeah,
man.
Right.
You didn't know what time of day it was.
Dramamine.
Yeah, seriously. No, of course. You know, you always run into people that varying levels of professionalism, people that are there just to get a paycheck, and then there's people that are there to get the paycheck and to also work on their craft.
Yeah.
You know, and to be proud of what they're giving the world. And I ran into a lot of people in both of those categories. But I do know what you mean when people bring up cruise ships.
What do you think that is?
I think there's just this stigma to it that people think, oh, you worked on cruise ships. You can't do anything better.
It's Kathy Lee Gifford.
Yeah.
She fucked it up for you guys. She
Kathy
did.
Lee!
What was that thing? What did she sing? Oh, it was horrible. It was like, oh my God, nobody wants to be on that thing. Favorite part of a cruise ship?
Traveling.
Worst part of a cruise ship?
Traveling.
Fantastic. By the way, next president of the United States. Political? Political answer.
All right, I mean traveling because I love to see the world. I love, love, love to see the world. Right. But getting from place to place sometimes is, it can be. It is.
How about the fact that you're locked in to the same environment of the people who are watching you? Is that good or bad?
It can, most of the time good, but it can have some bad things to it too.
Oh my God, Travis Clark.
Yeah, I saw you.
What was your favorite show you did on the cruise ship?
I did a couple of production shows with, we've done some really good Broadway reviews.
Oh, shoot. Your dad's
shit,
watching.
We did some great Broadway reviews, and those were always my favorite because we, I'm a Broadway guy at heart. Right. And then we did some other ones that were kind of, I'll just leave it at avant-garde.
Oh, nice.
You know, that the audience would kind of be like,
like a white stocking.
I kind of get that. Black. But is the casino open? Should we go get a drink?
We got 3-2 blackjack. Let's go.
Hot tub, anyone? No.
How old are you when you're on the cruise ship?
When did I do that? I started mid to late 20s.
Now, when you got to the cruise ships, did you say, done?
No.
This is where, oh.
No.
What was the plan?
The plan was to do that. See, I kind of had this all mapped out in my head, and that's my problem. I try to map out life instead of just kind of go with it.
But why is that a problem?
It's good to have a goal, but
seems like it'd be good.
But paths kind of go like this sometimes instead of always the way you want it to go.
Though.
It's good to have a goal.
Yeah.
What was the question?
Outstanding. How's the wine, by the way? I said, when you got to the cruise ship, you're like, okay.
Because
there's got to be some people who are like, I'm Nirvana.
Oh, of course.
I'm a cruise ship guy.
Of course. I know people that are still out there doing that in the production shows. But once I saw the production shows, I was like, okay, what's the next step out here? And that's when I put together my own act for the ships. And that was kind of...
Oh, you produced your own act for the ships?
Yeah, I started out in the production shows.
But how did you pitch that? This is a great business question.
Yeah, I went and every time there was they call them guest entertainers that come in and they do a show for, a couple nights and then they leave.
Wait, you were one of those?
I was and I am now, but I started out as a production singer that was there for, anywhere from like 6 months to eight months at a time.
Got it.
So while I was in the production cast, I would go and every time there was a production or a guest entertainer on board that I wanted to see, I would go and watch these acts and see what they were doing and just do my homework and see what people were consuming and what worked and what didn't work. And there was a lot of stuff that didn't work, man.
But these guys who came in as the guest entertainer, were they well-known people?
Yes and no.
Because you weren't well-known at this point. I mean,
no, of course not. Of course not.
No offense.
They pull people. I mean, there's acts now that charter cruises. KISS just chartered a ship that I was on
a week
before.
Right now.
Yeah,
it's huge business.
It's great.
Right now.
But they take people from all entertainment aspects. Comedians, magicians, singers, dance troupes, that kind of stuff.
Right.
So, I would go and I would watch them and I would look at them. And I'm like, okay. I could do that.
Yeah.
And I could be a lot in control more of my life.
So less play showy, but more singers.
Correct.
Songwriters.
Yeah. Just me being myself, sharing myself, my instrument, my craft, my talent in a more personable way with an audience.
So you did that.
Yeah.
You pitched that.
I pitched that.
And how did you close them on that?
I met a couple different guest entertainers and spoke with them and got names from their agents and pitched myself to their agents. One of them was actually working for an agency and her name's Dominic Bennett. Dominic, are you out there?
Hi, Dominic.
Hi, Dominic. She's with Barry Ball Artists out of Florida. And I signed with them and I'm still with them today.
But when you pitched them, did you send them a video? I mean, how did they know that you were worth a damn?
I totally get it. That doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
While I was in the production shows, this is what I did. If anyone's out there listening, this is a great, great little bit of advice. This is what I did.
We're going to be charging for this podcast.
Seriously.
I put together
some charts, had somebody chart up some songs that I liked that I could sing well. And I put together like a little, you know, 15, 20 minute set. I would then go to the cruise director or whatever, because they knew that I had this set, and got involved with either like a welcome aboard show where I did like the 15 minute set, or like a farewell show in the cruise, or maybe I opened up for a comedian or a magician or something like that to get the crowd going.
Outside of
my production shows, nice. Videotape the stuff with me on the band, on stage with the band. Yeah. Put it together, put my own little reel.
How
and
smart is that?
Send it out.
What percentage of the people who are in your game at that point were doing the same thing, were thinking the same thoughts?
I don't know, man.
How about maybe, let's say, 5%?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Because that's a business move right there. And that's the big problem with entertainers, right?
Yeah.
Is that they don't understand the business piece.
Right.
I mean, that's what I've seen during my time here.
Oh, absolutely. And it's tough, man. It's understanding the business. You're trying to understand a business that has no rules.
Right.
No rules.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Right. No, I get that.
You know what I mean? There's no linear path.
And there's also a bunch of dumb shits who work in that who actually have some power.
Of course.
That's the scary part.
Of course. I work with cruise directors. They're like, oh no, you go sing in the shows tomorrow night. We'll find something else.
Oh man.
But then I got a couple cruise directors who were like, I saw you do that.
And
let's put you on
for that. You're just doing it, right?
Yeah,
like,
of course, of course.
Like, are you kidding me? I'm gonna have this cat over here who can sing.
Of course,
and get it for free. And they're coming on. They're drinking Mai Tais and he's singing.
Yeah, man. So
fuck, I'll pay for the video.
But yeah, exactly.
We'll put it on Carnival Cruise. So you did that, and so that's your what's your next step? How do you get off the cruise ships?
I got off the ships, and one of the great things about working on a cruise ship is you can save a ton of money. Because you have zero overhead.
Yeah, but you don't have an apartment when you're running around?
At that time, I didn't, no.
So you just went from...
I went from Nashville right onto a ship, and I didn't have... I had zero overhead.
And you have no expense, right? So you're just saving all that money.
Saving all the money. Yeah, I paid off my...
What percentage of musicians saved all their money?
I don't know. Again.
10%.
Maybe, okay, 10. I was going to say 5 a.m.
Right?
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
So most musicians, most
because look, man, that's an easy life out there. It's easy to spend your cash
most
and just not
there,
do anything.
You would argue most entertainers who are on the cruise ship beginning are idiots, given
I wouldn't say that.
Really?
I wouldn't say that.
If 95% of the people are pissing away their money, well, they don't have to piss it away. That seems idiotic to me.
I wouldn't call them idiots. I would call it being stuck in, like I said, an easy life.
Yeah.
And realizing that. You know, you got it made out here.
You are such a friendly guy.
No, I'm not kidding.
Maybe that's why you have it made out there.
You don't have to do anything other than your job, of course.
Here's the funny thing.
Save people in the lifeboats if the ship goes down.
Now I know what's going on with you. I see you in a public world and you're like, oh, that poor idiotic guy. I'm just going to be nice to him. Like all the 95% idiots who are on the grid. Come on over, Scott. Yes, I'll chat with you. All right.
No, I appreciate that, man. I worked with a lot of people that drank their entire paychecks away out there.
Okay, but so, what's wrong with that? I'm sorry. Wrong question. Okay, so you get off the cruise ship. Tell me how you got to New York.
I moved there.
From the cruise ship?
Yeah.
You just went there?
I went there.
But you had money saved.
Had the money saved.
You could live there.
Yeah, so that I could, you know, get there and not 97-ish.
How much money did you have saved?
I think I went there with maybe 10 grand in my pocket.
Which is not very much money in New York.
No, it's not.
I'm going to assume.
It's not.
So you got a one bed or a studio apartment with your wife. Did you get married?
No, she and I met after I moved to New York because I went back out on the cruise ships.
Oh, so you cruise ship, New York.
Cruise ship, New York, back to the cruise ship.
Why did you go back to the cruise ship? New York wasn't working out.
No, New York worked out for a little bit, but I got tired of it, man.
You got tired of New York?
I got burned out of it. There was about a year and a half, and I know that this doesn't sound like a lot to people out there that are listening about auditioning in New York, but a year and a half of going to audition after audition after audition, and then going to my waiting tables job at night.
Oh, so you did the waiter thing.
And a year and a half of like no bites, man. And so
a year and a half.
Yeah.
A year and a half.
Zero.
Really?
Zero.
And you're like, fuck this. I'm going to go back on the boat.
Yeah, man. I got discouraged.
Yeah.
You know, I got discouraged and I'm like, I know where a better life is right now.
Yeah.
I know. Oh, it's right there. Yeah, so, and it's a phone call away.
Here's what's fascinating, because you ended up kind of kicking ass in New York. We'll get to that in a second. So you go back to the boat.
Yeah.
You leave New York. You leave your apartment.
Yeah.
Go to hell.
Well, I did okay in New York for a little while. I worked at the Radio City Christmas show for a while. I got, some regional things. But then
it didn't work out.
No, it worked out for a second. And then it dried up. And then it dried up, okay. And I got really, really discouraged, man, because New York's a great place when things are going well, but right. When it's tough, man.
So you go out, how long were you on the boat, version two?
Version two, I was on the boat for maybe a couple of years, and that's when I met Jen.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Not all at once, but, in and out for a couple of years.
So, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't realize it was that long.
Yeah.
Okay, so after a couple of years, you meet Jen, you get married on the boat?
Then we moved, then we had what we call our summer of indecision after we got off the ships, where we were just kind of like, we were like nomads.
Where does she live?
She was in Toronto at the time.
Oh.
So we were like, well, let's go see your parents. Well, that was fun. Should we go see my parents? Sure, let's go see my parents.
You weren't nomads.
We didn't know what to do, man, because we just got off the ship, and we were like, well, I know what I want to do, but I don't know how to do it.
But during all that time, you weren't working.
Correct.
Oh, fantastic. When did you decide, maybe I should make an income?
That's when we traveled around, and we were doing like some small gigs here and there with some production, like some industrial stuff, so there was a little bit of income coming in. Like trade show kind of stuff, all that kind of things. Right.
Please buy my hard drive.
Yeah, exactly. Mortuary.
Fantastic. That feels good.
So we did that for a while, and then I ended up, I went back to Nashville, bought a condo in Nashville.
Oh, you went back to Nashville?
Went back to Nashville.
Holy crap.
Because I was like, hey, man, I know Nashville's cool. I knew everybody there, and I knew it was a great place to live, and it was a great place to have a base. And so we moved back, I moved back there, I bought a condo.
No depression about moving back to Nashville?
No.
After being in New York?
No, I was excited about it.
You were happy about it?
Yeah, I was excited about it. Because that's when my guest entertainer stuff on the cruise ships really started to pick up.
Mm. So you weren't actually pulling that shit off when you were on the cruise ships. You had to leave and come back and leave and come back again.
Yeah.
And then they said, that Travis kid, let's bring him on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it took some doing, man. It took me calling these agents and, hey, I'm ready. Send me out. Start trying to get somebody to book me.
You're a bit of a hunter, aren't you?
Yeah, I guess so.
So when you say that, you go, all right, listen, whatever the agent bill, whatever the standard cost is for this guest entertainer, do you just say, fuck it, cut it in half. I just want to get out.
Yeah.
Do you do that?
You can, yeah. I definitely got started out at a lower rate.
Yeah.
Because I knew I was nobody.
Right.
I had no star credits to my name at the time, and I knew I wanted to get my foot in the door because I knew if I got my foot in the door,
that was a play.
I could do it.
Okay. So how did you get to New York in a big way?
In a big way. I was...
just so you know, fast forward, you were on Broadway.
Oh, yeah, I was. I forgot about that part.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Let's get to Broadway.
Okay. So I was doing the guest entertainer thing on some ships. I lived in Nashville, had a condo there, just bought it.
Yep.
Literally just bought it.
Married?
No, but,
living in sin.
But living in sin. No, she actually wasn't living with me. We were just doing the long distance thing, but I knew it was the real deal. So
did she live next door long distance, or she lived?
No, like Toronto long distance.
So she's still in Toronto.
Still in Toronto.
All right. Good. No, just make sure.
So, I ended up, putting together a demo of me singing some Frankie Valli tunes once I saw that this show had opened on Broadway called Jersey Boys.
Yeah.
Because I was always a big fan of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. So I put together this demo of me singing these songs.
Right.
And a friend of mine had the address for the casting director.
Right.
And they were like, I think I can get this into the casting director if that's cool with you. So I said, yeah, get it to him. So casting director got a hold of the tape. By the grace of God, they listened to it. And then... next thing you know, an audition rolled around and I got a phone call asking me to come to New York for the audition. Went to the audition, sang the songs. On my way, literally from the audition to the back to the airport, I get a phone call from the casting director, and they were like, "You know, we loved you, and we want to know if we can fly you to California to audition for the director of the show."
Really?
Yeah. And they were like, "And how would you feel about moving to New York?" I was like, "Oh, I'll do it." What do you mean? How do I feel about it? You give me a job and I'm there, man.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So then I flew to California, auditioned for our director, Des McAnuff. And a couple days later back in Nashville, we were literally in rehearsal for another industrial gig. You know, I think it might have even been for a mortuary. And I got a phone call from the casting director and they offered me the job on Broadway.
On Broadway. So
I went to New York to try to get on Broadway, and then I left New York and lived in Nashville and got on Broadway.
How freaked out were you about that deal?
I was pretty freaked out. You know, I literally bought a condo and I lived in it for a month.
Was this the original Jersey Boys in Broadway?
This was the show had already been open for, I guess, maybe about a year and a half or so.
Okay.
And I got the gig as one of the ensemble members, but I joined all of the original cast.
Oh, is that right? Oh,
yeah.
So you didn't.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on.
I didn't open the show.
All right. I thought you were like, yeah, I'm going to start the show as freaking fuck. Yeah.
No. No. This is still
reel.
Climbing the ladder, man.
And by the way, I'm fucking Frankie Valli. When I start up, I'm like, oh my God.
No.
Get out.
No.
You actually worked your way up.
I worked my way up. I started as in Jersey Boys. I started as an understudy, as a piano pusher, a set mover.
Hey,
yeah. But I was on Broadway doing it.
But you were right. You know? You know that you're picking up elevator shit. Why would you quit? I wanted to leave show business. This is the greatest job I have.
No, it was great, man. I got to understudy John Lloyd Young, who won the Tony for his portrayal as Frankie Valli in the original Company.
You came in as the understudy for Frankie Valli?
As one of the understudies, yeah.
One of them. There's more than one.
Yeah, they're covered multiple times across the board in case anything happens, man. So
what got you, how did you get yourself up there? What happened that made you on Broadway as Frankie Valli? You did do that, right?
I did do that. I was understudying John Lloyd Young, and there was some time where there were an opening opened up for a little bit. I did it for a little bit, and then Las Vegas opened up, and I got the call to come out here.
So first time you're on Broadway.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Holy.
I don't remember it.
Really?
I remember that it happened, but I don't remember any of it.
Oh, I completely understand. Right? What was the theater?
Don't remember.
Do you know the theater?
The August Wilson.
Okay. So you walk out. I can't even ask you this question. You're like, well, that's a great question, Scott. It's a fantastic. You're one of the best interviews I've ever had. But I don't fucking have a clue what happened because I had a stroke.
No idea, man.
Really?
No idea what happened.
Oh, man. Yeah. How long were you on Broadway?
I was there for about a year and a half before we moved out here.
Oh, and how often? I mean, but not as the lead.
No. During that time, I was, I played Joe Pesci. I played another ensemble part.
Can you do a Joe Pesci?
No, I've deleted those files. They're
Come
gone.
On.
They're gone, man.
Really?
They're gone. Yeah.
Really? Maybe in the post show?
Maybe.
Oh, fantastic.
If you're lucky.
Outstanding. And that's why you're in the live chat during the big show. Okay.
Yeah, so I played an ensemble member. I played Joe Pesci. I understudied the Tony Award winner. And you want to talk about pressure. People come to see this show to see the Tony Award winner played this role.
And then
they open up their program.
Frankie Valli.
And that little piece of paper falls out. They're like,
what's that?
At tonight's performance, the role of Frankie Valli will be played by
Travis Clore.
They're like, who?
The fuck is Travis Clore?
I'm getting my money back.
But did you hear the one guy go, oh, I saw him on the cruise ship. He's fantastic. No? Oh, if I'd have known, I'd have got out there.
No.
I loved you on the cruise ship. All right. So you're hustling.
Yeah, I'm hustling.
But you're making a living?
Yeah.
On just that show.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to ask you how much you made, but that was all you worked once you went back there.
Yes.
Okay. And in New York, you were making enough money
to live, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, did Jen follow?
Yeah. Then she came in and we got engaged in New York and then we eloped in New York and the rest is history.
You eloped in the same city that you were in.
That's right.
That's not really eloping. That's taking a cap.
A train, actually. Fair enough. A train.
Okay. So then Vegas, so they said, you know what? We're taking this thing across the world or country, and they're going to do the tour. And did they approach you? Did you approach them? How does that work?
They approached me to audition for the tour. I still had to audition for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you had to audition against how many people who wanted to be Frankie?
No idea. No idea. A
lot.
Let's
call it 20.
Let's say 20.
Fair enough.
I went into audition for all of the creatives. Bob Gaudio was there. Frankie Valli was there. Our director, Des McAnuff, was there.
Were you freaked out when you saw Frankie Valli?
Of course, dude.
You're like, hey, dude, good thing I'm wearing my Depends. It's fantastic.
Of course.
Yeah.
But that was for the tour, and they didn't want me for the tour, so I stuck around Broadway.
What?
I know, right?
How does that not piss you off?
I don't know.
Or make you... wait. Don't you ever go...
Of course. Of course, you can whine about it for a little bit, but then you got to move on, or else you'll go crazy.
I really wasn't whining. I was just emotional.
Yeah. You definitely do that.
That was hurtful what you just said there. All right, so you, so you didn't get the
Didn't get the tour.
So they're touring around. You're back doing what you're doing in New York, and like,
right?
What the hell? I could have done that.
Right.
How did you get to Vegas?
They called me and asked me to come out here.
Vegas called you.
They're
all the same.
The producers, yeah. They're all the producers. The Dodgers Theatricals do all of the Jersey Boys productions.
And they do other things too. Probably don't want to go into that. But okay. Yeah. I mean, that's bad. It probably could go.
Right. Yeah, it could go on forever.
Time. Right. So they went and said,
let's move.
We're going to plant in Vegas.
Yeah.
And we want you to audition for Frankie Valli.
The show actually had already opened here. I moved here about 4 months after they opened here.
Oh, I thought you opened it here.
No.
Oh, okay.
They opened here in, I think, May of 2008, and I got here in September of 2008.
But why would they need you to come after they've already opened it?
They like to move things around. You know, there's people, pawns, if you will.
You're not fooling anybody here. Not fooling anybody.
They move things around a lot. And
so they weren't happy with the first Frankie?
No, there's a million Frankies, first of all.
That's unfortunate.
A million of them. And we all look alike. And
another Frankie once. Rick
Fonio.
Yep.
He's the one that opened the show here.
Oh.
Yeah.
Met him.
Yeah. And then I came out here, like I said, 4 months after they opened, as the two show guy. So Rick was the six show guy, and I was the two show guy.
Right.
And that went on for a little while, and then Vegas being the way that it is, they decided that it probably would be better if they had us each do four shows and save us vocally. A little bit.
Right. Because it's got to be hard doing that whole false stuff nonsense,
man.
The whole time.
It's horrible.
Did you normally sing in that style, the falsetto thing, in your normal gigs? I mean, is that how you normally sang?
Yeah. There was. I knew that I could do that. And so I tried to capitalize it on as much as I could. You know?
Because you could do it. You're like, I could do it.
Yeah.
I'm a pimp.
Yeah.
I'm a pimp daddy.
I'm a falsetto pimp.
Which
you, I'm a falsetto pimp, baby.
Maybe you should have a shirt. I'm a falsetto
FP.
Pimp.
FP. We're getting hats made tomorrow.
Yeah. Trademark. The biggest video network. Falsetto pimp. That's sad that you drank.
Love it.
All right.
You drank a lot more than I did,
That's not really true.
Wow.
I watched, actually, because I could. But I've got more over there.
Oh, good to know.
Okay, so you you get there, you do your... Now, just between us, no one's really watching right now.
Okay.
We're listening. You get there, you're like, you're the two and the six, mm-hmm. or the two and the five, or whatever, mm-hmm. whatever that math is. And when they went 4-4, is it because one's a matinee and thing? Why is there 4-4? There's 7 days in a week.
There were eight shows that we did, though.
There you go.
Eight shows.
One's a matinee.
Well, it was that way when we were in 6-2.
Got it.
The six show guy was the main guy.
Right. Rick.
Six. Yeah.
Got it.
And then the two show guy did the matinee performances.
Understood. So when there's two matinees. Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. So and that's how they do it on Broadway as well as on the tours.
So you weren't
as
doing
well.
7 days a week. You still had dark nights.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So when that went 4-4, honestly, just between us, did Rick go, the fuck?
I'm sure that he probably did. I mean, I would have.
Did you sense it?
What's that?
Did you sense it? You're like,
yeah.
How does that make you feel? I mean, how do you manage that? I know how it makes you feel. Well, that's not great.
Yeah.
But how do you manage it so the guy's not like trying to, you know, poison your broth? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know. I do know what you mean.
He could be a dick about it.
Yeah. Anybody
could try to poison you.
Yeah, anybody could have tried to poison somebody. I don't know. I think that I just focused on what I had to do because I knew that this role was it's just massive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I try not to let people's negativity enter this, or get in my way of what I have to do.
Right.
I focus on what I know I can do, what I know that I have to do, and anything that can help me do that is great. Right. Anything that's going to hinder me, I don't got time for it.
Right. So at some point, you became the sixth.
Yeah. When did that happen? Rick left the show. I can't even remember when that happened, but Rick left the show. No. I take all of that back. We never did 6-2 after that. We always stayed at 4-4.
You've always been 4-4.
Sorry, I completely brain farted there.
So I've always thought you were like the main guy.
Well, I played the main guy.
Yeah, but I wanted you to be the main guy.
I'll be your main guy.
Attaboy.
I'll be your main guy.
Okay. All right, we're gonna go ahead and wrap this up. We're going to get us another nice Merlot. Got a little fire pit over there. That's crazy.
Wow.
Okay. Your dad's like, that's it. You can never go to that part of Las Vegas ever again. Sorry, I'm just kidding. So
we stayed 4-4. And it after Rick left the show, it was me and my buddy Graham Fenton that split the show.
Is there a better nights to perform? Of course there is. Which ones are they?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's funny. In Vegas, you know, you would think that the weekends would be great. Saturday nights for live shows, at least for Jersey Boys, weren't that great.
Really?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
That's what I thought.
Oh, come on.
But, I mean, everybody's coming in. They're going to the clubs and whatnot. Thursday nights were great. Friday nights were great. Sunday nights were the best.
Oh, I think that would be the absolute best.
No. The absolute best.
Really?
The absolute best.
That doesn't make any sense. You recognize that, right? Because nobody
of course.
Is there on Sunday. They're all driving home. They're all going home.
Not at Jersey
nobody
Boys.
Flies.
Our Jersey Boys crowds on Sunday nights were off the hook.
Really?
They were fantastic.
Okay. What was the biggest? So let's talk about Jersey Boys for a minute. By the way, 47 minutes. And we haven't begun to talk about anything else. Look at you, you little chatty Kathy. You.
Jersey 68. Boys,
biggest
I'm leaving at 68.
Thank God, because I got shit to do this show. And this guy, I can't shut him up. All right. This might be difficult for you to answer. And if so, you'll be penalized.
Go ahead.
Biggest bullshit thing about being in a Las Vegas production. Not necessarily Jersey Boys.
Biggest bullshit thing?
Yeah, how about unions? Nope.
I mean, our union... Hey, ooh.
Just kidding. Oh, they're applauding.
No, our union was great. We're with Actors Equity, and they've always taken great care
okay,
of us.
Okay, what was the one thing you're like, okay, well, no. How about just being in a play for 7, 8 years, 8.5 years, where you got to say the same thing over and over again?
Mentally, it's exhausting.
I mean, it's
there's
hard.
Sometimes you're out there, and you're saying the things, and you're doing the songs, and then you get off stage, and you're like, did I do that? Did
really?
I say the right words? Did I sing the right words? Did that go okay? Because I don't remember doing any of it.
And you're on there a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So did you ever get, no, just again, between us, were you ever on stage, on a Sunday, big crowd, very, very appreciative of what you do, and go in your head, not out loud, but in your head, you're like, what the hell am I doing?
Yes, there were those times.
Attaboy. Yeah. Look at you.
Of course.
And when you thought, what the hell? What did you want to do? It's a fantastic question, by the way.
It is a good question. I think in those times, especially towards, you know, you get into year 3+ of doing the same thing over and over.
Yeah.
As great as it is to be a part of an amazing show like that, to be the lead of an amazing show like that.
Seems pretty good.
To sing this particular role is... There hasn't been a male role like that
in
I don't know how long, and if there ever will be again.
And it's a hard role because of the falsetto,
right.
Among other things.
Right. And I mean,
you had to act too, but
that's what made it so great. The music and combined with the acting of it all, it was the best male role that I can think of.
Yeah.
You know, I can't think of one that compares with it right now. Maybe the Phantom of the Opera. It's on that level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I get that.
And so you're into 3 years, you know, plus doing it, and you're like, man, I'm still doing this.
Mm.
And why am I still doing it? You know? I always said that I would stop doing it once I stopped loving it. And I never stopped loving it. I always wanted to do more, but I never stopped loving doing the show.
Right.
I always, and maybe this goes to back, you know, like what we were talking about before, I always am trying to do more. I'm always trying to look down the road and figure out, okay, what's the next thing?
Right. Let me interrupt you. Just, I want to talk about the next thing. So when Jersey Boys closed, were you surprised?
No.
Was anybody in the cast surprised?
I don't think so. We like I said, we were doing 8 shows a week, which is the standard Broadway schedule. And then about a year before we closed, we dropped from 8 shows a week to 6 shows a week.
Which is a...
It's kind of a, the writing's on the wall kind of thing.
So if you go from 7 shows to like 2 shows, that'd be bad.
That would be bad.
There are some shows here that are bad now.
That would be very bad.
You know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about.
Shit.
Yeah.
That's not a feature.
Yeah, that's kind of jacked.
So you went from 8 to 6 and you're like... Oh.
We went from 8 to 6.
But that doesn't seem like a huge drop. It's
20%. No, but I mean, doing that took a lot of negotiation. Like, our producers were going to... Hey, phone's ringing.
Let me get that for you real fast. Oh, yeah, it's... it's Broadway.
Hey, Broadway? yes, I am available.
They would like you back.
Yeah, okay, I'll be there tomorrow. No, what was I saying?
So, 8 to 2... You're like,
8 to 6.
Oh, 8 to 6, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and our producers, you know, they worked a lot with the various different unions to make this, to stretch it out as much as they could.
That's the hard part, by the way.
Yeah.
That part of the
Of course it is, but it speaks a lot about them because they knew that we all, you know, we had a great thing going on here.
The union said, we understand. They're actually being flexible.
Yeah.
First time.
Yeah. Our union, we made a concession. We took a pay cut and everything.
So,
and we stretched it out another year.
How long? Oh, it was a year.
Yeah.
So did you think it would go a year?
We were hoping to go, let's see, like I said, this was about a year before we closed, and we closed in September. So we're talking about September-ish 2015.
Right.
We were kind of hoping we would go to at least the end of 2016. But that didn't happen.
It was a rounding error.
Yeah.
So, how about this? You, your wife, your other castmates in the show, did panic set in?
Yeah. To various degrees, I think people felt various levels of panic. I've always tried to be smart with, you know, not only my finances, but with, you know, keeping things in check and living beneath my means. So I think financially we were okay. So we didn't panic too much about that. I think the panic set in knowing that I have 2 kids to continue to provide for.
Yep.
You know, and...
So you're a breeder.
Yeah, I'm a breeder.
Attaboy.
And, you know, having that in your head, you're like, you're thinking, okay, I have 2 kids, right. Young kids, 2 and 4, and I'm unemployed.
Yeah. That's got to be spooky as shit.
It's horrible,
man. Now, what's interesting about this is, so while you've got arguably one of the greatest male roles in Las Vegas, you're also out doing your own gigs,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So you started doing the Christmas show. You started mm-hmm. off at Cabaret Jazz.
Yeah.
Well, talk to me a little bit about why?
It's very
cruise shipping, by the way.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's cruise shipping, but Las Vegas is a giant cruise ship.
What I mean by that is, that's not derogatory. What I mean is, you were on a cruise ship, Vegas, and then you said, I got to do more.
Oh, no, yeah, I got you. I got you.
That's what I mean by that.
Yeah, gotcha. Well, you and I actually met earlier that year when I did a different show at Cabaret Jazz. It was a different solo show.
Oh.
You even did the voiceover for my intro.
Wasn't
remember?
That for the, was that for? I thought that was for the Christmas show.
No, that was the one I did.
Oh, you're
it was that.
Right.
It was that same year, but it was
oh,
I think
God,
in
right.
May of that year or something.
And then we never spoke again.
Yeah, and then
fantastic.
And here we are.
Who's your manager gal? Oh, I forgot her name.
Jeannie. Yeah,
Jeannie
Bavaro.
I do remember that. That was fun.
Yeah, but all those, you know, the side things that I've done, I think, kind of helped keep me sane in Jersey Boys, you know, because I was getting this outlet of,
right.
you know, expressing my creativity in other ways and doing things that that would fill me up, that would keep me in check while
right.
I was on stage singing. Yeah. I can't sing my eyes off.
But it also gives you, but it also gives you a other opportunities. I mean, I would assume that you're thinking.
Yeah.
Something may come of this.
Yeah, of course. I've always wanted to be a solo performer as well as, you know, being in musical theater roles. That's something that I love.
Do you prefer singing over being in the musical theater?
Like singing solo, like doing solo shows.
Like shows, man, big band, whatever.
It's a different thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's a completely different thing.
But the question's still legitimate.
I don't know if I prefer one of the, well, I take that back. There's times when I'm doing my own thing solo-wise. There's a lot more riding on your shoulders.
Yeah.
Therefore, there's a lot more reward when things go well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when you're producing your own show and you get this great response, there's this even bigger feeling of, I did something right.
As
opposed to, I said someone else's words correctly and I sang someone else's song the right way.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Now, so when Jersey Boys went away, did you ever think, shit, we got to get out of Dodge?
Those thoughts definitely crossed my mind.
And a lot of people did go out of Dodge.
Yeah.
I don't mean from Jersey Boys, although I'm sure some of them did. But, you know, when I talked about the 20 or plus shows, we've all seen it, these Facebook posts. Fuck, I got to get out.
Yeah.
See ya.
Yeah.
Going to New York, going to Austin, going to whatever.
Yeah.
And you considered that.
Yeah. I mean, that's.
What kept you here?
We love Las Vegas. We love everything that we've. Built here. We love our house. We love our friends. We love the community that is in this city. The entertainment community here it's like nothing I've ever experienced. You know, it's this.
Is it really that different?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know why.
No. What I mean by, explain to me. No, that's not what I meant. What I meant was, I hear that occasionally. Mm-hmm. Oh, the community here in Las Vegas is fantastic versus
where. I'm not saying that it can't be cutthroat or that it's not shitty sometimes, because it absolutely is.
Okay.
Because this is show business.
So, but I mean, like, from, it seems that you hear a lot of people saying, oh, the entertainers here are very cooperative and they love each other. Kumbaya. Yeah. Yes?
I'm everyone that I'm friends with is very supportive of all the things that I've done.
Right.
Not only with Jersey Boys, but all the things that I've done outside of Jersey Boys. I know that I try to get out and support those same people.
Yep.
You know, because I think what comes around goes around.
Sure.
And when you get a little, you got to give a little.
Yep. Yep. I get that.
You know what I mean?
I do.
So.
All right. So you're going to hang out for a while.
Are we at 68 yet?
We're at 60.
Already?
Yeah.
Time flies.
Let me just play a little bit of, we're going to be talking about your big show coming up. Will you be playing this song at your big show?
We will indeed. Me and Nikki Scalera.
Oh, so she'll be a part of it.
Yep. She has been from the very first Christmas show.
Right.
We've actually sang together for the last five Christmases.
She seems like a nice gal.
She's the best.
The best?
The best. We sang together the first time with the Las Vegas Philharmonic the year that they opened the Smith Center for their holiday show.
Oh, wow.
And then for the last 4 years, she's been a part of my Christmas show.
How do you decide who sings with you?
That's a good question.
Thanks.
I like Nikki. I love Nikki's voice.
Bad singers here. I mean,
I know. But Nikki and I, as soon as I met her, I felt like I knew her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I had known her for a while.
She seems like a nice.
She's that type of person.
Every time I see her, she's like, I don't know who the fuck you are.
And she can sing her face off.
Yeah,
so that always helps.
Next time you see her, say, hey. Next time you see Scott, don't.
You remember
don't
that? Remember that guy?
Yeah.
That one guy, Nikki.
Yeah. I'm kidding. I don't think she even knows who I am.
She's the best.
Okay, so now you're doing a big show coming up. Here's your chance. Pitch, baby.
Hey, everybody. Yeah, September. That'd be a great day for a Christmas show, wouldn't it?
You're slightly tardy or very early. You make the call.
No, December 9th at The Space in Las Vegas, we'll be doing the fourth annual Christmas at My Place. We'll be doing the entire record, Christmas at My Place, live in concert.
In the
well
row?
As, no, we're going to switch it up a little bit.
Awesome.
And we're going to be doing a bunch of other different songs, too. So there's only 10 tracks on the record, and there's about 16 or 17 tunes in the show. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you did, for a while, this is your first time at The Space.
Yeah.
You've
This is the first show at The Space.
Look at you. Is that fun?
Seems
fun.
It is exciting.
Right?
It is very exciting to be the premier show at Mark Chinook's new venue, The Space.
Right.
At the same time, it's a little nervous because, you know, they still have to, I think they're still loading in sound equipment and all that stuff and the shows. And
he's
a
pretty
and a half,
connected
so.
Cat, though.
Probably, yeah, he absolutely
probably,
is.
You're probably okay there.
The last time that I went by the space, he might have seen a look on my face and he was like, look, man, I know what you're thinking because I'm thinking it too.
Right.
It's going to be fine.
Okay, and the date on that is again? Okay, hold on, let me bring this to your graphic.
December 9th at 8 p.m. at the space. You can go to, you're looking at my website right there. You can either go there and get information about it, but the link where you're going to be able to get tickets is at thespacelv.com.
Okay.
Thespacelv.com.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. Okay, we're going to try to figure out how Travis drank 3/4 of the beer.
Beer?
Wine. Maybe.
I wonder who drank it. There you go.
Don't judge me. You can't come in my house and judge me. All right. You know what? I think it's time for some outside people talking to me. Travis.
Excuse me.
Guns N' Roses is my bitch. All right, here we go. This is part of the show where people send an email and we, read it. And you can send that email to onairq@livinginlv.com. Again, onairq@livinginlv.com. This comes from Pops. And Pops writes, Dear Scott.
How about that?
Trustworthy.
Can you need some
although,
music?
Would you like, here, I'll play one of your Christmas songs. Not afraid.
You just felt like you needed some underscoring of some type.
Can you just sing something in the background?
Oh, geez. With a big wine?
Could you?
Belly?
Oh.
Just read your email.
Mr. Broadway can't get at it when I wanted to. Okay. Hold on, let me hear this. Dear Scott. Although the impromptu live chat gathering last week wasn't the huge topic brainstorming session I'd hoped for, it was still fun. And we all hung out for about an hour.
Nice.
Right. We did get one live chat question that I wanted to be sure to pass along to you. This guy's fairly new to the live chat and seemed surprised that we invited him to stay when he started to bail after you played the Chris Phillips show. Yeah, because the Chris Phillips show was epic. And here's the question. Jake the Rake 1949, which we've decided is not his age but his wine, asked, is Vegas Mass Transit safe to ride at night? Thanks very much, Pops. Okay. Have you done any mass transit on the...
I have not.
Fair enough, because, well, you're...
I did enough mass transit in New York, so as soon as we got here, I was like, I have a car!
Were you ever nervous in New York about mass transit?
Yeah, there were a couple times.
Pretty much every time you got on the...
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, understood. Here's the deal here. It depends on where you go. If you go to, let's say, Martin Luther King Boulevard, don't do that. It's not fair, but that's what it feels like. Now, I actually used to... hold on. I used to drive down Martin Luther King Boulevard all the time. It's actually pretty safe. Here's the rule among all criminals in Las Vegas. It's a serious rule. We're not messing around here. And that is, we're a tourist town. And whether we have to rob people or not, we can't tell anybody we rob people because we're a tourist town. So everybody feels safe. It's true. I've never really felt scared, although I've never gotten on a bus. So I don't know. Here's the deal. If you're going up and down the bus on the strip, you're cool. If you're going up and down the bus on that to downtown, you're probably okay. You're going down the bus on the Summerlin or Green Valley over there. Yeah, you'd be fine. Stay away from Aliante only because I used to live there and we're rough trade up there. Okay. Let's continue on. Shall we?
We shall.
Oh, I forgot to mention, by the way, I want to welcome our Capital Grill sponsor.
Hey, Capital Grill.
You ever been to Capital Grill?
I have. It's fantastic.
Best restaurant you've ever been to? Let's go ahead and say yes.
Yes, it is.
Here it is. It's my favorite restaurant. Why? Best steak I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Best steak I've ever had. Best bartender, best servers. They're real servers, not actors.
How about that?
Who want to be
How
actors,
about that?
Right? My guy.
Listen,
years.
Man, I was a good waiter.
Hey, I'm not saying you weren't.
I took care of people.
I'm not saying you didn't. Did you work at Capital Grill?
I did not.
That's my point.
Okay.
If you were that good, you could work at the Capitol Grill.
Wow.
Now you wouldn't be here.
Okay. All right. All right.
Okay.
Fair enough. Point taken.
Okay. Great location. Fashion show. Third floor. Across from the wind. Great view. Last 2 years, we were at New Year's Eve there. Guess what? This year, New Year's Eve again. Now we're going to add a little bit of show before that, but New Year's Eve, I'm going to be at Capitol Grill. Go check these guys out. Whether you're a tourist, you're a local, just treat yourself to a fantastic dinner.
And if it's good stuff, people.
It's fantastic. You'll see a bunch of wine lockers.
Have some wine.
Have some wine.
It's delicious.
And if you see my wine locker, take a picture of it.
Because it's empty.
And if it's there, and you send a picture of my wine locker, I'll give you a free something. Adam.
A free recording studio.
Oh, my God. That's not right. Okay, let's continue on. Live chat questions. God, he's still singing. He's fantastic. What's this one? Which one is this? Can you sing along with
me? I can't hear it.
Hold on. I'll turn it up.
Oh, this is... No, we're just going to let this one play.
Really? You don't want to sing along with it?
Hold on.
Is that you?
That is me.
You're an angel.
I try. When you sleep, I do my best.
When you sleep at night, when you close your eyes, do you see God? Seriously. Your dad's like, you can never talk to him again. I'm sorry.
Do you see
I'm so sorry. But literally, listen to this.
Oh, geez.
It's velvety. It's sweet. It kind of makes me want to cry a little bit.
Look, man, this is one of my favorite tracks on the record. This is Keith Thompson in his arranging and producing at his finest.
Keith's pretty fantastic.
He wrote this whole arrangement. He put together the choral parts, the string parts, everything, and it's his little stamp.
When you wake up, do you feel a tap on the shoulder, and it's basically God saying,
it's time to wake up.
Time to wakey wakeys.
Wakey, wakey.
Go out and make everybody happy. Hey, that's probably not what God says. God's deeper, I'm thinking. He's more like this.
Travis. Travis, you are fantastic.
Do that to mine. Can you do that to mine?
I can. I'm doing God. Don't mess with me.
Sorry, God.
Travis, I hear this in the background when I, God, wake. It's my favorite tune, along with one of those nights. I don't know, whatever a great Frankie Fish. Come on, don't push me. I'm God. I'm busy. I got a lot going on. Meanwhile, I just want to tap you on the shoulder, Travis, and say to you, you, my little angel, I love you. By the way, the wife and the kids, I love them too.
Thanks, God. Thank you, God.
You're welcome.
It was God, ladies and gentlemen.
Playing the part of God on this show, Scott Whitty. Scott Whitty, he sucks at God. All right, enough.
Enough of you.
Dad's like, okay, you're going to actually have to move back to
what time?
Oh, we're over now, aren't we?
It's 11. Oh, we are.
Oh, way to go. Okay, quick questions from chat. Potpourri. Jimmy G wants to know, hey, do you know if the parking at MGM Properties is $10 for 24 hours or for a three-day trip? For $30, or would it be $10 for the whole thing? First of all, it's $10 a day. So, Jimmy, you're going to pay $30 if you're here for 3 days. If you live in Las Vegas until the 29th, it doesn't cost anything. What I would do if I were you is Uber, because Uber doesn't cost $10 a day.
No, it doesn't, doesn't.
It's pretty fantastic, no. Actually. I like Uber.
That's
or
right.
Lyft. Lyft's pushing hard.
I recently got involved with the Lyft. Not driving.
What does that mean? How does one get involved with Lyft?
Well, I would always take cabs. So a buddy of mine turned me on to Uber, and then I went to a party that had some coupons for Lyft. So I was like, cool, I got to go to the airport at, you know.
Oh, you did? Oh, yeah.
Midnight for a red eye. So I took a Lyft.
Pretty good, right?
Yeah, it was really great.
It's fantastic. No, I'm telling you, they're kicking the shit out of the taxi guys.
Yeah.
Taxi guys are freaking out right now.
They should be, man.
Yeah, they should, because they're rat bastards. Okay. Have you been to the new Lucky Dragon Casino?
No.
Okay. Scott? No. Do I want to go? Konnichiwa. That's Japanese, actually. Yeah, I want to go. Reviews?
I haven't read any about them.
Mixed. It's super small. So a lot of people who are used to the bigger properties there are like, I can't wait to go. I'm taking 3 steps. I'm in the back. Now, that's an exaggeration. I don't know how big it is.
Right.
And I don't really know. They are They have a very, very targeted market, which I actually respect that they are doing this. You know, mm-hmm. it's a Chinese market, local Chinese or tourist Chinese. I mean, go to their website. It's in Chinese and in English. I mean, literally, you can pick.
Interesting.
It's, they're serious about this stuff.
Where is it?
So you know where so it's basically Sahara and Las Vegas Boulevard. Mm-hmm. So there's the greatest souvenir shop in the world.
Right.
Right there.
Oh, okay.
So a little bit west of that.
Yeah.
And there's a condo there as well, and I forget the name of the condo.
Yeah.
So here's my deal. Good. Another casino? Good. The real question is, are they betting on the come? Are they really going to be able to pull off a bunch of Chinese folks showing up there? And I hope they do.
Yeah.
Because that's what I don't want them to fall down. We've watched enough of that happen in 2008, 2009, whenever it was. That was not pretty to watch. Mm-hmm. So I hope they kick the ass. But it's going to be different than what we're used to. Now, in the live chat, people are all over this place. Do they have a pool? They do. Who said it? Maui Dave says Lucky Dragon's in a bad spot. No, it's not. So SLS is in the same general spot. Now SLS has suffered a little bit. They just hooked up with M or with W to try to improve their play. And is it because they're in a bad spot? No, it has nothing to do with the spot. What it has to do with is the way they presented their product.
Mm-hmm.
The product wasn't good. I remember walking into SLS. I couldn't wait to go in there. Now, I was a big fan of Sahara in that I never went. But when they sold everything, I bought a lamp and I bought one of those couches that when you walk out of the elevator, those like flat, what are they called? Davenports or whatever. Mm. I bought one of those. It's in my studio right now. That's why I like the Sahara, but nobody else liked it. And that's why they fucking closed down. So Sahara comes in and they're like, SLS comes in and we're going to make it. I'm like, yeah, that's fantastic. Let's go.
Yeah.
I remember walking in the first time. I'm like, wait a minute. They didn't finish the ceiling.
No, they didn't, did they?
My God.
They went that industrial look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's fantastic if you're a studio.
Yeah.
So at the space, good idea.
Yeah.
In my first studio, fantastic.
Yeah.
At a casino, whoops,
yeah.
You missed a little bit. And I think a lot of people went,
Okay,
well, that big light above the bar is pretty cool, but could you maybe put those little things on top to cover that shit? They zigged when they should have zagged. But it's not about position. Look at Stratosphere. Stratosphere is not a high-end property. You know, most people are like, don't go. But they're doing okay. They're surviving, and they are right by Naked City. If somebody said to me, you can have any casino you want, put it anywhere you want, I wouldn't go, oh, fuck, let's put it by Naked City where all the fucking crack whores are. That's a good idea. No, it's not a good idea, but they're surviving. They're working on it. They're making mistakes here and there, of course, but they're getting it done. Okay. And Mike asks, why? Hey, I didn't ask you this. In your opinion, why have a lot of the shows here in Las Vegas closed?
I think there's a few things. There's a lot of competition for people's dollars right now. You know, you got a ton of shows, celebrity chefs. You've got celebrity headliners, and then you know you put all that together, and if you go for one of these celebrity dinners, or you know you're dropping $200 or $300 before you even buy show tickets.
So you believe that you guys are competing against dinner?
In a way, yeah.
Really?
Of course.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think that's the main issue?
No. It's not the main issue.
What's the main issue?
Well, like I said, I think that there's various ones. I think that I think one of the big ones is hotel properties aren't really taking that much stake in the shows that are going into their rooms.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. They're basically saying, "Hey, we've got a room. Who wants to rent it?"
So it's for a wall, which is the word for that, right?
You know,
was Jersey Boys for a wall?
No.
Yeah.
Caesars had a big stake in that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But a lot of these spaces are four walls where they're allowing anybody to come in and rent their rooms, and they're not giving them the support that they need.
Right.
Until the hotels really get a stake in the shows that are in their rooms and realize that, okay, if we don't push this and if we don't really try to make this happen, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because there are shows right now that are dying on the vine.
Yeah.
And they're talented people. I think Frankie Moreno's show is a good example. Well, super talented guy, overproduced. Fuck. By the way, he wanted to be sitting where you are today.
Oh, how about that?
And I said, I got Travis. He's like, that fucker. I didn't. A couple questions real quick. Jimmy wants to know, does an entertainer get paid per show or is it a salary?
My particular show was salary. I know that there are some shows in town that do pay per show or they pay per night, that kind of thing. But the Jersey Boys that I was in was a weekly salary.
And do you prefer that?
Yeah.
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 But does it also...
It's just more stable.
But does it also mean that you have to do other things? Oh, you're going to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to do Wake Up Las Vegas.
Well, yeah, there was definitely some... aspects of knowing that there was extracurricular work that went along with it, like doing like new shows.
Is that delineated? You're gonna do three?
No.
Horribly early.
It's not even
shows.
It's not even in our contract.
So you didn't have to do it.
Technically, no.
But you want to do?
Yeah.
Because it's kind of nice.
Yeah, because it's you're selling
you're
tickets,
pitching, right?
You know. Okay. So.
You know what? Cheers. Let's have a drink on me.
Where's the wine, Scott? Oh, man, are we moving to whiskey? It's going to be that kind of night, isn't it?
Okay, sorry, we're right back.
It was timed very well. You guys didn't see it, but during that little graphic, he realized that this was empty, whipped the headphones off, ran over to the bar, and grabbed this.
Here's a producer's clue to Travis. Sometimes you don't want to tell him how the sausage is made. Just saying.
Well, I think that they deserve to see that because I was impressed by it. That's why I shared it.
What impressed you of all that's happened today. You're like, you know what? The guy can move. He's a jackrabbit when it comes to getting alcohol. Fantastic. Oh, that guy's going to be right. All right. It's time for Have a Drink on Me. It's part of the show where I show you a picture of a bar or, I don't know, a pub. Speakeasy.
Sure.
And you guess where it is that I've been. Now, there's an opportunity to win multiple ways, multiple prizes. But first, we're going to have Pops tell you how to win in general. Pops, take it away.
Let me tell you what you can win this week.
This week's Lucky Haddam winner can choose any one of three amazing Scott Whitney guitar CDs. Crisp Acoustic 1, Crisp Acoustic 2, or Gajazzathon. Proudly displayed here by Bob, undisputed king of the video Haddam entry. Or you can choose the comfortable and stylish Vegas Video Network visor like these lucky winners. Available in the standard black and sometimes in the rare, hard-to-find red, popular with the ladies and the Russians. Or you can choose the premium prize package. The next time you're going to be in Vegas, you can arrange an evening of sophistication and class with the man himself, the guru of all things Vegas, Scott Whitney.
That's me.
Well, okay, at least drinks, laughs, and some priceless conversation.
Send your entry into Have a Drink at VegasVideoNetwork.com. VegasVideoNetwork.com.
Thank you, Pops. We're going to add a little bit of power to the Haddam of this week. Besides, oh, look at this. Look at this. Oh, that's very well done. Look at that. Nice. Look at me having a really entertainer musician guy holding up my CDs. But special edition, the live chat demanded it, and we're going to give into it. Where'd your CD go? Oh, yeah. We're also going to offer this CD where you can listen to fantastic music while you're decorating your tree. Sing. Ah, shit. Hold on. Go.
Adds up to a happy holiday.
That's right.
Oh, but that was last year. Baby, now you're not here. And I'm jingling my own bells all the way.
Now you know why I think you're a little angel.
Yes, Lord.
You are the best angel in the whole world, Travis.
Thank you, Lord.
What it's like to have an angel voice. I only give those typically to nice people, but look at you, and you have the angel voice as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Could you write me a song?
Sure.
Fantastic. You're...
Do you have my CD?
Oh, God never laughs. Let's not have that there. Fantastic.
Okay.
It's on iTunes, God.
I subscribe to your iTunes channel. I got nothing. Okay, bye. Okay.
Are you an Apple Music member, God?
God out. Okay. Okay. Now, there's a variety of other ways to double or triple your chances to actually win or at least be entered in. Would you like a little honey jack, by the way?
Sure.
Okay, here we go. Stand by. A wine-flavored honey jack?
Yeah, why not?
Man, nothing wrong with
it. Just a nip. That's a good nip. Right, thank you.
Yeah, we're not afraid of you. God would approve. Okay, we're back to it. Oh, sometimes, you know, the honey jack, you can't beat the honey jack.
Cheers. Salud.
Salud. Oh, it's kind of like a rosé.
Mm.
Jesus.
If you will.
Yeah. Mm.
Sweet.
Okay. How do you multiply the opportunities for you to win here? So you get one entry into the hat if you have a correct answer. Outstanding. But Scott, I want more. I'm a bit greedy. Fair enough. If you are in the live chat and you have already provided a correct answer, you get another one.
One more.
Boom. Wait a minute. What if I'm the very first person to send in a correct answer?
Put it in the hat.
Exactly. What happens if I send in a video entry for my hat? What happens?
Hat.
Hat. Exactly. That's fantastic. Hat. I'm gonna write a song called Hat. But there's more. Oh, there's so much more. There's an opportunity for you to become a deity.
Hmm.
What? Is that possible? Yeah, it is. See, if you win a visor, hold on.
Get that visor, will you?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good looking visor.
Yeah, several of them. The most that we normally do is black, like my heart. But we've got different colors as well, red and, of course, cream.
La crema.
Or la crema, very much like the wine. Oh, very nice. If you get one of those hats as a winner, you put it on and you go, oh, that feels pretty fantastic. And then you take a picture and then you send that picture to me.
Mm.
And then I put you into an area. What's that area called? Well, my friend, we call it, stand by, make sure I've got the right graphic.
Graphic's up.
Stand by. Here we go. We call it a part of the galaxy of God. There's Michael and Robert and Rosie. There's Michael G and there's Scott and Dickie and Bud and Alan and Aaron. We know they're nudists. There they are as nudist and Bob and her wife. And there's Danny and Shannon. And Craig and Glenn, there's Jimmy 2G's. But wait, there's more, there's 1,000 more right now. Travis is going, what the hell is that guy in Hawaii doing? And Russian, and there's Christina, who's all babies are because of my music. There's Don and Jackie and Mike. Look out, Mike! And Pops and Sammy and Carol and a dog and Chris, who's still in my backyard drunk. And Brett's dad and your buddy Scott and Wayne. And of course, let's not forget our buddy Brett. There he is. Okay. Probably never been on a show like this before. Huh?
Still in your backyard drunk.
Yeah,
no, that sounds about right.
He's literally back there, right? I hear bubbles. And I'm like, is that the jacuzzi? No, it's...
That sounds about right.
It's Chris trying to get out of the water. Fantastic.
Okay. He's married now.
He is married now. We were there.
We were.
We saw it happen. They're like, there's no way he got married. And they're like, I got video of him getting
it
married.
It happened.
It's fantastic. Okay. All right, let's see what we got here. This was a small number of people actually played the game this time. It was a little harder than we expected. Apparently, you guys can't speak... the German, or whatever it is I'm speaking. I don't even know what I'm speaking right now. But here it is. Last week's Have a Drink on Me. There it is. And the clues were Biergarten at Plaza. Beer Garden at Plaza. Beer Garden at Plaza. Congratulations to those who actually got in the game. Getting a text from people saying, you got to get off right now.
Yeah, my dad's going to bed. Good night, Dad.
He's going to bed, and he's praying for you.
My wife wants to know if she needs to pick me up.
Oh, this is not even close to what can happen here. Jen?
I'm okay, babe. Right, I'll give you a call if it gets a little crazy.
He's good, but you know what? I like that she would look out for you. I also says, like the fact that your father is like, I can't have this.
No, my dad says, good night, son. Much love, Pop. Love you, Dad.
That's nice.
My wife says, oh, to the MG. Laughy face. This is fucking amazing and hilarious. But do I need to pick you up?
Fantastic. No. Or maybe. We'll see. We got it. We have to do post show, after show. Who knows what's going to happen there?
Oh, my God. We were supposed to be working on some stuff for my Christmas show tonight. I don't think that's going to happen,
babe. You don't have that
wrapped up already? That's not going to happen.
Okay, here we go. So beer garden. Here we go. Ready to go? Okay, here we go. Stand by.
Biergarten.
Here's our people. Now, number one, Monica Fagan. Now, was Monica the very first entry? No.
Nope.
Nay. Nine.
Sorry, Monica.
No. She was the first entry, and then she was wrong.
So
throw her out. But then the number two entry, wrong.
Wow.
Number three entry, wrong.
Wow.
Wisconsin doesn't really get the beer garden. And they're in the live chat right now.
Wow.
So Monica, this is in response to a question from Pops coming up. She's like, oh, no. I screwed up. It's not this. It's beer garden, the plaza.
Ooh, yeah.
So while she was number four, she was still the first correct answer. She gets one for the correct answer.
Booyah.
Congratulations, Monica. Let's see if she's in the live chat. Oh, no.
Oh.
Next up, we've got Glenn Santa. Glenn's from New York City. Glenn gets one for the correct answer. Oh, he was in, but he had to leave because he had to go to the bathroom. Next one, Penny Gregory. Next up, we've got Nick Grunwell.
Hey, Nick.
Okay. Andy in New Hampshire. Andy's won a few times.
Yeah, all right.
And we've got Mike Beatty.
Beatty.
Alan Perry from the Arizona. Boom. Alan's a good man, by the way. Thank you. We've got Aaron Perry. Ah, smart play here. Husband and wife getting in. They just doubled their pleasure, doubled their fun. Next, Kevin Whip from the Canada. And then we've got
Canada.
Brett Barnes from Paradise,
all right,
California. And then next up, we've got Pops. Pops gets one for the correct answer. Pops writes, actually, I'll let, go ahead and read this. See what you're made of.
Let's see where we at.
Oh, that.
Where am I reading?
The part that has text on it.
Dear Scott.
Well, that's a good start. Shit, there you go.
This week's correct H-A-D-O-M. Have a drink on me.
Had him.
This week's correct Haddam answer is beer garden.
Boom.
Or beer garden.
Beer garden?
Yeah.
See.
One South. Do I need to read all of this?
Hold on.
Can you get a highlighter? Can you highlight what I need to read?
Start with downtown at the the clues were tricky.
Okay. The clues were tricky, and I'll bet a bunch of people guessed Hoffenbräu's.
Yep.
They did. The color-changing LED tree in the picture was the key
Nicely
to getting
done.
It right.
And that was the key.
See? Show me that picture.
There it is.
There's the tree. All right. He says, I like it when the clues are challenging. I like downtown. I like beer, or at least I used to like beer when I could drink. Bad. Ha! The more people that rushed in got it wrong, mm-hmm. the better my odds
That's
of
exactly
winning.
That's exactly what happened.
You did say the first three entries were wrong.
Yep.
Oh, wait. Wait. That brings up my request for a Haddam rules clarification.
Fair enough.
See? If a person sends in a wrong entry, but later realizes the mistake and sends in a correct entry before the cutoff time, is the new entry valid?
Tomahawk said no.
No, actually, Tomahawk says yes, it is valid. And actually,
well,
Monica...
Well, he's getting into the sentence here. Or is it a case of, you were wrong, you lose?
No, I'm not that kind of guy.
No.
I'm a giver.
Yeah.
I'm a lover.
I'm a lover, not a fighter.
I'm like Grinch. My heart got...
Oh, it grew three sizes that day.
Yeah, that's me.
Aww. Okay.
So Pops gets the one for the correct answer, and Pops gets another one for being in the live chat, right?
Boom. Pops on the paper.
I was in a band called Pops on the Paper. And then he gets one more for this bit of cinematic epic.
So two of them?
He's going to get one more.
Boom.
Boom. Oh, well, there you go.
Boom.
Give him one more. Attaboy. See? I think he's done a good job so far. Here we go. Here's Pop's video.
Hey, kids. One of the reasons you watch the Living in Las Vegas podcast is to find the insider secrets, stuff that you might not know about. Let me give you three quick secret tips about the Plaza downtown, since this week's Haddam Bar is at the Plaza. Tip number one, they've got a great pool. I say it rivals the fabulous pool at the Golden Nugget. Mm. It's not quite as fancy. It doesn't have a shark tank. It doesn't have a water slide, but it also doesn't have a bunch of screaming damn kids.
Oh, good point.
Secret number two, down in the food court, there's a Mexican food place, a fast food place. But they hand-make tacos, burritos, all kind of Southwest Texas.
See, I'm going there.
They're very good, actually.
I might have to hit them on the way home.
It's a hidden secret. And secret number three, even before the recent vote, Plaza was the most 420 friendly place I've ever seen. When the hallways on the smoking floors got so clouded with the ganja smoke that you couldn't get to the elevator without getting high, it didn't send Metro, it didn't send security, they sent housekeeping. They came up and opened the fire door and let the breeze blow through for a few minutes. Closed the door, smiled, waved, collected a few tips,
dude,
went on back to work. Strange. I wasn't participating, I was just watching. But I know a lot about downtown. Ask me, it's my stomping grounds. Me and
these nuts! That was
not. Thank you, Pops. Good old Pops. These nuts. Was he saying that they're legal now?
Was that?
Was he saying that that's legal now?
It is. It was passed. You're like, sweet.
If my wife wants to know what is happening.
Well, you just showed me a blank page, so I'm a little afraid that you showed me a black page. Nothing's happening. We're not really smoking. I don't smoke the dope.
Babe, I think we're just hanging out and talking and chilling.
Chilling like a villain.
Yeah.
Here we go.
All right, let's see what we got.
Pick a winner. Boom.
We got...
Who we got?
Pops.
Really? Nice job, and it's Pops, everybody. He's
well done,
won
Pops.
4.5 times. He's now won 5.5 times. It's no wonder he's a god among men. I'm not bringing up the god voice because that's enough of that. I mean, I can only do it so many times. All right, here's this week's Have a Drink on Me. Take a good look. Clue number one. It's on the 24th floor of this casino hotel. Hmm. It's on the 24th floor of this casino / hotel. Hint number two. Well, casino. The hotel part is closed. Hint number two. It's a casino, but that hotel thing, closed.
So it's just a casino.
Yeah. But it's still got a lot of floors. 23 between the casino and the hotel or the restaurant.
So there's a casino on the floor.
Yep.
And the bar is on the 23rd floor.
Well, that bar is on the 24th floor.
Wow.
And then hint number three, the namesake of this casino founded the World Series of Poker.
Mm.
The namesake of this casino founded the World Series of Poker. If you know the answer, you're going to send it to haveadrink@vegasvideonetwork.com. Again, haveadrink@vegasvideonetwork.com. All right, everybody, thank you very much.
Congrats, Pops.
Way to go, Pops. Okay, hey, how do you reach out to us? OnAirQ@livinginLV.com, OnAirQ@livinginLV.com. We want you to do a voicemail. Send us a voicemail. We want to hear your dulcet tones. I dare you to sing a song that, I don't know, somebody like Travis does. Really, he's got God's ear, but it doesn't mean you can't do it. Here's how you do it. You go to our homepage, and then you click that little orange tab on the right side, a little... I just stepped on my headphone. That was unpleasant. A little thing pops up. You're going to click on start recording, and you're going to be able to record your voicemail because you have a microphone on your computer. Hey, we're on iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review. We're also on YouTube. Give us a thumbs up and share us with all of your friends and family. And besides those two, hey, we're on the Roku. We've got 73,000-plus accounts installed. We're on Stitcher, TuneIn, Chromecast, Apple, Google, and Fire TV, Google Play, and, of course, the Vegas Video Network. Big thanks to... this young man here, Travis Clore, for hanging out. Thank you, Travis.
Thank you for having me. This is awesome. Please.
Thank you very much.
I want to come back sometime.
Tell a friend. Oh, you're welcome back anytime. Maybe next time you could bring a drink. Okay.
Which record is this on?
What?
Which record is this song on? Yeah, this one?
No, it's on.
This is good stuff, man.
Thank you, man. All right, we'll see you guys next week on the Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network.
See you guys.
ticket.